We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Sahad and Sharma.
I would be surprised if they're moving someone from the core, from the team that you're seeing on the field now, healthy or not. Triple A, Ian Happ, maybe. Sure, someone is interested in Ian Happ and believes in him. I wouldn't be shocked by that, but it's just not their MO to go out to go move players from their current roster, especially when depth is kind of an issue right now. Yes, it's a talented offense. I mean, look at the power numbers. They're really delivering in that area. For other guys other than the core four now stepping up, and I think that all matters, but I just don't see who you move that's going to get you who you want.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, we're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sports. We've got a lot of baseball to hear and a lot to discuss. We're going to do the midday midway at 10:40. There's some Bears stuff as well. A lot of new information being injected into the Bears bloodstream that we need to get to. We have the resolution of a very strange injury mystery that deserves discussion as well. Len Casper will tell us all about a harrowing night at the ballpark at 11 o'clock. Zach Kreiser of Baseball Prospectus has information about what Kyle Hendricks is doing, how he's doing what he's doing.
Shutting down everybody.
In a way that surprised me and is counterintuitive to what you think Kyle Hendricks is. So there's some very interesting baseball scouting stuff coming up at 11:20. And we have $1,000 cash to give away. Got to be listening for the keyword to text and win. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to text, please do 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
The finals begin tonight.
Yes. So when you download the app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook. Just like the 670 The Score page. You want to watch us? You can do that. Brian Gerch has the video feed. That is at watch670thescore.com at Facebook Live. We've got Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does, the executioner, Ray Diaz, producing this show. It was a very strange and difficult baseball night with both the Albert Almora incident and the Tim Anderson incident happening within minutes of each other.
Yeah, it was really quite something. A lot of emotion on either side of things. And I was flipping back and forth a little bit between the Cubs and the Sox. I've got the two TV, one screen kind of thing that I can do. Mm-hmm. And I had the White Sox.
One TV, two screens.
Well, yeah, one TV, two screens kind of thing that I can do. And I had the Sox broadcast on with the audio, and I noticed over on the other side that the Cubs game, it just looked weird. You know how they weren't doing baseball things? Oh, man, I better flip over to here. And saw the outpouring of emotion from Albert Almora, kind of rewound to catch up with things and see, you know, what had happened and how the broadcast handled it, how the ballpark handled it, how the crowd handled it. It was really quite something. I think, you know, I'll join the chorus of many saying, I don't know that I've ever seen ball players on the field in the moment react in that way.
Never.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that.
Never. I never have. And Almora's reaction shook me. What immediately happened allowed my mind to wander and just think, what could he have seen?
Oh, well,
it's a horror movie director's trick to show people's reactions to something, to allow the viewer to create something that a filmmaker couldn't even create. I mean, that's a trope of filmmaking to show the human, but that's real, and to see them and then to see him, even the hug with the security guard when we don't know.
Oh, that was you don't know why that hug's going on.
And what his emotion, we just know the size of his emotion. We don't know if he's been told she's been rushed into emergency surgery or if they think she's going to be okay. It's just precautionary. As far as we know, just to get you updated, the latest that we know from all reports, and there's been nothing official, but what we've gleaned is that the little girl who looked to be, what would you say,
four, maybe,
is expected to be okay.
Hopefully that's the case. Like you said, nothing official yet, and obviously some HIPAA rules and regulations prevent, until the family is okay, the release of that information prevent us from knowing much more than the Astros may or may not know at the time, too. So, you know, hopefully that is the case. Quite obviously, hopefully that's the case. I just, you know, looking through that scene and looking through some of the reaction that had gone on the field, we're going to bring you some of the audio. Albert Almora talked for 4 minutes, 23 seconds last night after the game about what had happened. I don't know that we're going to bring you all of that necessarily, but it was pretty gut-wrenching. I stayed with all of his post-game interview. And what stood out to me from that was Albert saying that immediately after he fouled the ball off, as fate would have it, he turned and the first person he saw, just as his momentum carried him to follow the ball that he'd fouled off, was the little girl. He looked immediately there and happened to see that right away. I think that kind of informs his reaction some, to be immediately met with that vision, you know, see what had happened through no fault of his own.
Yeah, the way he describes it, it's as if he saw her and immediately thought, oh my God, I hope this doesn't hit her. And then he saw it hit. I mean, he was saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And just watching it, it was really jarring. It really was. And I don't think that I've seen it happen quite like that in real time.
No.
Should we hear from Almora?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's grab the of Almora's very complete description. And I give him a lot of credit for talking too. I really do.
Yeah, and I would not have taken any away from him had he not
correct.
Been ready to. I mean, and I think that's where, you know, we talk a lot about Jason Hayward and his, you know, tenure with the Cubs, right? His the purchase he has on the leadership role that he's got on the teammates and the players that he's with and the reputation that he has. He calls the rain delay meeting in the World Series, even while he's having a terrible season. Guys respect him. So for him to say last night that he was impressed, glad to see that kind of emotion because it lets everyone know, because you see the humanity involved in the incident, that's where people's minds ought to be. They ought to be with Hayward when it comes to how people react to something just like that.
Yeah, he had some teammates really show who they were last night. I think there were some people who believed that it was Kyle Schwarber trying to place himself in between Almora and the camera.
Oh, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
Savvy move.
To allow him that kind of privacy there in the moment, and to see Hayward come over there, and then Madden, of course, to remind him, as Madden explained, that he didn't do anything wrong. It is not his fault. I feel for guys like Todd Frazier and for Almora, because you're up there trying to hit a ball as hard as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, the natural next conversation, the natural next question. Almora got asked it last night. Chris Bryant answered the question last night. I know others did as well. Colin McHugh, who I believe is the Astros player rep on their team, was asked about it. Does the netting need to be extended? You know, do fans need to be afforded the extra protection? And I think quite obviously the answer is yes. If you extend this to its natural conclusion, to what's going to happen, or what may indeed happen, is if a ball gets fouled off and someone goes into critical condition, or worse, is killed by a foul ball into the stands, child or no, then the nets will go up the next day.
Yeah,
then all throughout baseball, at 30 different parks, the nets will go up the next day.
It happened in hockey.
Why not just put them up now?
Yeah, it happened in hockey. Oh, it took the death of a child.
And it's unfortunate. And there was some obstinance that met the nets when they went up to the end of the dugouts. Oh, how you know, they're absolutely interrupting the view of high paid tickets or what have you. Dude, you don't notice those nets after 90 seconds of sitting in front of them. You don't. Your brain zeroes that out. You see the ball game that's in front of you. It's not an impediment. And it's certainly not, even if it is some small impediment that your brain has to filter through, it's certainly not worth the potential consequence of not having those nets.
Yeah, Texter's pointing out, too, that the Houston catcher's reaction as well is obvious. He's seeing the same thing.
Robinson Chirinos, yeah. And, oh, my God. Oh, boy. I just had an image of it. I had forgotten that he followed the foul ball as well, and you just kind of see him collapse.
Yeah, it is. It's just... I mean, we all know, you know, when you're on the golf course and you hit a ball into a group of people and you scream and then you just feel like, oh, God, I hope nothing's happening.
And you can't, as someone, listen, I've had you can't react in time. And even if you're paying diligent attention to the game at hand, you're going to wander for a brief moment, whether it's to change your scorecard like I had to do one time or whether it's just because somebody quick pitches and you're not paying. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, or how old you are. Your attention can be dragged from the game at hand, and you're in danger for that brief moment.
Yeah, the 815 says, didn't Jim Rice once carry a child hit with a foul ball out of the stands? Yes, he did. Jim Rice, his quick action saved the life of a young boy who did have a fractured skull, and Rice immediately grabbed him and whisked him to the clubhouse doctors who got him to emergency surgery.
When we come back after the update, Pat Hughes had the call on 670 The Score Cubs Radio and did a pretty unbelievable job describing the incident last night. Well, you'll hear it.
Almora hammers one foul to the stands left side. Look out. Oh, a fan got nailed, and that is a very scary thing. Oh, man. Oh, it was a young fan, and it looked like the mother or the father running that child up to the emergency area here in Houston. And I'm sick to my stomach right now. Albert Almora Jr. is down on one knee and sobbing. He's got young children of his own. I'm sick to my stomach after watching that. It was a solid line drive whistling beyond the third base dugout into the stands, and before anyone could get in the way of the child, I didn't see exactly where it hit the youngster, but you could tell by the reaction of everyone around him that it was a solid blow. That is awful.
That is not shying from a big moment. That's a big time, very honest play-by-play call there from one of the best in the business on these airwaves, Sports Radio 670 The Score, where you hear all the Cubs games. And that is descriptive, and it's real, and where a television broadcaster can let the pictures describe the action, he's telling you what happened.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, when you see, again, we presume it to be the father of the child run that child up the stairs, it's a terrifying moment. I mean, it's for everyone there, and you could kind of feel, as I went back and watched it after having not seen it in real time, watching the White Sox game as I was at the moment, you get pulled into that. You know what I mean? The somber attitude, the silence of everyone around, and just kind of how it took over the stadium was palpable. You know what I mean? That came through the set. You could feel the terror in that moment, really.
Yeah, it's past time to go foul pole to foul pole with the netting. It is simply past time. A woman died last year.
Yeah, after she had sustained a good number of injuries, and she was, I think, in her 80s, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's someone's going to get hit in those stands, and you're going to have it happen there. I mean, that is where things are headed. You may as well just put the lines up, put the foul poles all the way, put the line all the way up to the foul pole.
I don't see a reason not to. And even though you have disclaimers on the back of the ticket, you heard Jed Hoyer just earlier today talk about it. And for me, when you are at a ball game and there are video boards up, and it's not like it used to be, teams are asking for your eyes to be elsewhere often. You've got vendors around saying, hey, look at me, listen to me, video boards and games and so many things going on all the time as you're let alone being three, where you don't really have an attention span. And I can give you my perspective when I took kids to games, and I was always terrified.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even sitting behind the netting where, there could be a foul pop and then everybody crushes in and people step on you. But it was the one time we went to a game, and I had a couple of young kids, and I didn't think of it. I didn't think, oh, yeah, we're not behind the protective netting. And then I realized when there was a foul ball, like, oh, wait a second. And I moved the seats around. I said, I'm going to sit plate side. of you two, you over here. So even, you know, accidentally, I'm going to provide a passive block of some kind.
Sure.
But you can't ask kids to pay attention like adults. You can't ask adults to pay attention anymore.
No, you can't. I mean, I was doing the pre and post for the White Sox, and there he is, you know, James Shields. He's pitching Abraham Almonte. He decides to quick pitch. Rosie had decided to change the scoring on a pass ball to a caught stealing, or a pass ball to a wild pitch. And I'm obsessive, so I have to go down to the scorebook to change the scoring before, you know, the goblins come out and attack me or something, because everything has to be just right in the scorebook, because that's me, apparently. Mm-hmm. And I look down, and Shields quick pitches. Before I know it, I heard the snap of the bat, foul ball, whistled just past my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the broadcast booth.
Takes a chunk out of the drywall.
Took a huge chunk out of the drywall. And I mean, if not for a half an inch, I had bent just slightly one way to write something down in the scorebook. DJ has to come over and check and make sure I'm still, you know, with everybody. I mean, it was, it doesn't matter. And that's the other thing, too. And it's been mentioned. We tell you every day how the exit velocities on these baseballs are increased now more than they've ever been. The ball's moving faster, and people are paying less attention. Both of those things are okay, but both have to be cared for.
This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9 to noon, middays on the score. Jesse on the north side, you are on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, guys. Hey, I know what you're saying, but, you know, I'm not going to be paying what I pay to go to my 15 games a year on the first level and then have my view ruined because people aren't paying attention.
Your view's not ruined.
How is your view ruined?
Okay, because when I'm up the first base or third base line, it looks better to me than when I'm the five or six times I've been behind the plate, because I don't like a net in my view. I like to see clearly to the field, and that's what I pay for.
Well, you know what? Otherwise, then you're going to have to make a decision.
Well,
either pay for it or don't.
Don't you think that most of these teams would agree with me, and then they're going to have these? Well, if they did not agree with me, then why aren't
you rather people be protected?
I would rather people make a decision for self-responsibility if they're going to be distracted.
She's three. It's a toddler.
Right. That's why parents have to think for their children, and obviously those parents weren't doing that.
So it's the parents' fault.
Wow.
You're blaming the parents for their little girl getting hit.
Yes, because when I had a child that age, we sat in the upper deck, and that way things were a lot safer, because I have played baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan, and I understand the risk.
Well, that's our first, the very first call to the show is it's the parents' fault that their toddler got hit with a baseball. Jesse, the nets are going to go up, and you're going to have to make a decision. And if you don't
then the teams will lose money.
They will not lose a dime.
Okay. We'll see.
Oh, wow.
What an awful call.
Wow.
What an awful thing to think.
Dial 10 digits to make sure that everybody knows you think that it's the parents' fault for enjoying a baseball game with their child.
And how dare some team in any way affect your opinion of the quality of your vantage point to protect little kids?
Because my money.
Because your money.
Because my money.
Yeah. What a lovely thing to think. When we come back, let's hear that full Albert Almora postgame to hear him in his own words on a night, sadly, that he'll never forget. We'll also, after the top of the hour, bring you the dueling descriptions of what may or may not have been an intentional beaning of Tim Anderson. We've got all of that, all of this sound coming your way. We are the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Albert is an emotional young man with children, so that made it even more real to him. And I got it. I understood exactly what he was going through right there. And I knew he needed somebody to walk up there. I know Jason was going up there, but I thought I needed to be there. And he eventually, you know, after he came off the field and was consoled by the security guard, I think. And then he went upstairs, was able to compose himself up here, and then he came back, he said, thumbs up, I want to play. Because I was prepared to take him out.
Joe Maddon talking about what he was doing to manage his player in a non-baseball moment. I thought that he was going to come out of the game. Just watching the intensity of his emotion, I'm thinking, how can this guy go back and play baseball?
Yeah, I had that impression myself. Bats ends with a strikeout, just that next pitch, it's done. And I just kind of figured, man, watching him go back into the dugout like that and really really just kind of let it all hit him, as you would expect somebody to do, as you expect that kind of emotion to wash over somebody. I did kind of figure he was done. Almora stayed in, even talked to reporters after the game about the incident, about how he saw it, about what he felt while it was all going on. It was really, it's really some impressive stuff. Gut-wrenching though it is, it's fairly impressive for a ballplayer to have his head where his was at.
Impressive that he decided he wanted to talk about it after the game as well. And this was Albert Almora in the post-game clubhouse.
So that's probably what sucked the most. Just the way life is. As soon as I hit it, the first person I locked eyes on was her. So that's what, all my teammates, Joe, everybody came out and obviously tried to talk to me. And obviously, I didn't want that to happen and I didn't intend for that to happen. And then, credit to Miley as well, came to me and said, you know, try to calm me down. The rest was kind of a blur, the rest of that at bat. I finally kind of came to my senses after the next half inning when I went over to the stands. I just couldn't hold it anymore, man. Honestly, I had to try to keep my composure during that at bat. But when that half inning was over, I just couldn't hold it anymore. God willing, I'll be able to have a relationship with this little girl for the rest of my life. Prayers right now. That's all I really can control.
Think about what he's saying. Right after he hit it, mm-hmm. he locked eyes with her.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. So he literally happened to look right at the little girl, and he didn't just see the aftermath. He watched it, saw the inevitability of it in that split second. And this is a baseball player we're talking about with unique vision.
Yeah.
A unique ability to track. And he saw it off his bat, saw her, saw it hit her. It's hard to be the same again after something like that.
Yeah, that has to stick with you, and it clearly has already with Almora. I mean, he's talking about obviously hoping and praying for the best for the little fan, the little girl that was struck by the foul ball, and even in the aftermath after the game. Talk about how he hopes to be able to have some sort of relationship with this girl for the rest of her life, be involved in whatever comes next for her, with her, with that family. I mean, that's an incredible amount of self-awareness of I mean, I just can't imagine going through all those steps while also playing a baseball game, something that, yeah, is a little second nature to a guy that's been playing it for his entire life, but my God.
There's a ton of reaction to our first caller also with the text screen absolutely blowing up here with people wondering how many people out there are thinking like that guy thinks, like, well, if they dare put up netting, they're not going to get my money. Andy in Bloomingdale, you're on the Score.
Yeah, I just want to say this guy's out of his mind. You know, I have a son too. He plays hockey. You know, this netting needs to go up, and that's it. As much as I don't like it, I don't like to see it. They've got to come up with some kind of material, like a fishing line, something that can withstand a 120-mile-an-hour ball that maybe won't affect people's vision. But to think that this happened and people arguing about this netting, it needs to go up in hockey. It needs to go up in baseball. You don't want to see it. Don't go to a game.
Well, it's up in hockey because a kid died.
Yeah. And I think it'll go up in baseball. I just, you know, the idea that you have to pay attention during a baseball game is, I mean, I understand wanting to look at the situation and say, well, you know, you do need to pay better attention. And that's true. You do have to pay attention to what's going on the field as best you can. It's on the ticket. There's be alert for foul balls and all that stuff. But think about what you're asking that parent or any parent.
Have you ever taken little kids to a baseball game?
Think about the next step that you're making. Now you're saying, okay, you shouldn't bring your kid to a game unless you're a superior athlete able to field a 110-mile-an-hour foul ball?
Even if you see it coming, do you know how hard it is to get out of the way of something like that? Even
yes,
if you are
I do.
Paying attention.
I don't think anybody else does.
Even if you know, even if you see ball coming at me, and then you duck out of the way, you know who gets hit? The kid sitting behind you.
it's impossible to make sure that to pay attention enough to cover every outcome of a foul ball screaming in at 110, 112 miles an hour.
Anyone who claims that they can pay attention for their children 100% of the time, that is a absolute bull crap. There's
nonsense.
No way. Think about just sitting in a game with your kid, 5, 6 years old. Hey, daddy, mommy, why is there a man in that scoreboard? Oh, and you look over there, you explain to them how it's a manual scoreboard.
How about I spilled?
Or, hey, can I get a smoothie or whatever? There's a million distractions at a baseball game. There's no one. I don't care how many people want to call up and say so. No way you could pay attention to literally everything at a baseball game.
And even if you are, it's a 110 mile an hour line drive. Even if you are there in the ready position, you've creep stepped. You're being an infielder. Even then, what are you going to do? This segment is brought to you by Icon Building Group. Attention Lake County homebuyers, Saturday, June 1st and Sunday, June 2nd. Tour the beautiful new custom homes of Riviera Estates. Located in Greg's Landing in Vernon Hills, Riviera Estates is the perfect opportunity to build your custom home. Search icon-group.com for all the details. That's icon-group.com. Mount Prospect, our next stop. And Mike on Sports Radio 670.
What's going on, guys? Love your show.
Thank you.
I was listening to the game last night, and I heard that happen, and this morning I actually watched the footage, and I started crying like an idiot to myself in the car.
Because, you're not an idiot.
Well, I mean, I'm a parent of a daughter, and a few years ago, I took my daughter to a Cubs game. We were like 20 rows behind home plate, kind of towards first base side, and, you know, when you're a father or a parent, all eyes are on the ball all the time, no matter where it goes. So a ball was hit, and it went up, and it, like, went on top of the roof, and I was looking up, and I didn't see it. And I was like, huh. I was like, where did that go? And then 10 seconds later, it came falling down and hit on the concrete, like, 6 inches from my daughter sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. So the guy that said before us, like, it's the parents' fault. That's such a bad thing to say. So,
I couldn't agree more. Nonsense. That seems to be the overwhelming response.
You think all the angles that are in a baseball park with the caroms and stuff? I mean, at guaranteed rate, there's those, you know, the speakers that sit at like a 45 degree angle over the concourse there. I've seen balls ricochet off those. They go. They look like they're harmless little foul balls and aren't going to hurt anybody. They hit the speaker and ricochet directly down with seemingly more speed than they left with. How the hell are you supposed to figure out where any of that's going?
When we come back, I want to hear, and I want you to hear, because it's great stuff, the difference between the way the White Sox television broadcast described the beating of Tim Anderson, the way the Kansas City broadcast described the beating of Tim Anderson, and where the two shall meet. Because we've got a Rashomon-style sort of
I don't think those lines
here.
Are crossing, really.
I don't think so either. But can I tell you something? I don't like the Kansas City Royals. And it has little to do with any White Sox affiliation or any fandom.
Yeah.
I don't like their general manager. I don't like their manager at all. That to me, sort of, it multiplies into a real healthy distaste for that organization.
They've made a lot of choices that make them easy to hate. Tim Anderson doesn't like them either. We'll get to it next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.